Good morning. This is Teresa Sagitz, and welcome to the Team Glacken Monday Morning Motivational Call. And this morning, this is actually where we come together, share some ideas each week, get motivated. And so I am excited about what we're going to be talking about this morning. And today we're going to be talking about personal development, a piece of that. We're going to be diving into the concept of fears and how that stops us from getting what we want in our life and in our business. And so it would be greatly appreciated if you have some things that you want to share as we go through that. Feel free, because that will help everybody. So on Friday night, myself and Denise Gaskell attended a seminar that we happened to see that was going on, and it was by a comedian / personal development coach, I guess you could say. He's a comedian and has decided years ago to get into the personal development arena, and boy, it was just a great event. And so I want to take some of the concepts that was shared there and have some discussion around them this morning. And his name is Kyle Cease. And he was talking about how to fall in love with your fears and how this can really change your life. And so we can go into a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk some more about fear. And so when we think about our business and our life, a lot of times things don't go the way that we want because we get in our own way. And fears are some of the ways that we do that. So I'm always fascinated by the idea of how do I help myself get out of my own way? How do I break through my fears? Because there is a concept, which is that you're the only one stopping yourself. And I get frustrated because my ex-husband has said that to me for years. And whenever he's over visiting my daughter, he'll type that or write that on my goal board. And boy, does that hit me, because really when I'm not achieving what I want or I'm frustrated, it is myself that is doing that. I'm stopping myself from getting, you know, where I want to go. And so at this seminar, we were talking about, or he was talking about, Kyle, that we create our own fears. And I want to give you a concept right away that he started the presentation with, which was just funny to me. Because he said, if you have children, remember, or remember when you were younger, you might have gotten afraid at bedtime, and you would say, oh, there's a monster in the room, or you would hear a noise, and you would think somebody was in the room, and you would get scared. There wasn't actually anything that went on. You created that in your head, and you got yourself to that point of fear. So today I want you to think about, that would be the same concept as if you drew a monster on a post-it note or maybe an index card and held it in front of yourself, and then you got afraid of that monster that was on that post-it note. Because you created that, you looked at that monster on a post-it note, and now you got afraid. That is the same concept with a lot of our fears. We conjure those up, we create them in our head, they're not real, and then we get afraid of those. Denise, I know you want to add something to that piece.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great way to look at things. Obviously, he has a comedic past, so he's a little bit on the light side. But his one-liners really hit home. And one, you know, I took lots of notes. I'm not sure that there were a lot of people in there taking notes, Teresa, but there's Teresa and I with our little notepads taking notes as the comedian speaks. But, you know, a couple of the lines that he said that really stuck out to me is, when you step into fear, you step out of closed situations. And I thought that's so true a lot of times. And then he also said, the reason you think you can't is exactly the reason why you need to do something about it. And so when we get into those situations where we think we can't and it's fearful, you know, a lot of times we keep playing there, right? It's comfortable for, and this certainly isn't new information. Lots of people have talked about this, but I think the way that he presented it was just really created an opportunity to think about it a little bit differently and a little bit with a laugh. You know, sometimes we just need to look at the fear and go, yeah, I know you're there, ha-ha, right? I'm moving on from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I had to say. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to open up the call a second. And any thoughts about fears, or when I just made the, or what Denise said, or when I talked about the idea that you create your own fear with the monster, any thoughts come up for that? Questions, comments? you guys done that before, created a fear in your head?
Hi, this is John from Bel Air, Michigan. I remember getting married. My wife is from India, and having to fly 9,000 miles, you know, from my home, you know, to go and get married, and then sitting in the church, I was just terrified. And her relatives are like, "I can't believe you're doing this." You know, how are you doing? It was quite possibly the most, you know, if you could say, anxiety, anxious, you know, afraid, fear, pure fear. Okay, so
right. Yeah.
You know, what happened was, you know, as you walk through this fear, I use the word of God. I would have went insane if I didn't have something else to put my mind on or read, so my eyes and my ears could hear my mouth saying, you know, I will live and not die to declare the works of the Lord, or whatever the case may be, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So whatever it takes to walk past, walk through the fire, walk through the fear, remarkably, after we got married, you know, it's like, it was almost like you could conquer a certain level of fear in your life, in a sense, where it just doesn't exist anymore. Not to say that we have our moments in life where we're nervous or afraid or have to go to an appointment or do something, give a presentation. My wife's a singer, so, you know, having to go on stage. So the idea that you do gain so much from facing those fears, walking through the fear, and it becomes very natural at a point where it's no longer a factor in a certain sense. And I think that, and we're watching PBS and different anxiety syndromes and stuff. A lot of it is just life. It's difficult sometimes, depending on your geographical location or where you're at in the economy, to make a good living, to, you know, maybe not swim up the same stream everybody's going on, and to have that victory, in a sense, in our life, where you have a breakthrough. You have a financial breakthrough. You have a personal breakthrough. You have a spiritual breakthrough, a health breakthrough, you know, where you get a solution or you get revelation in a particular area where it really, really helps you. And I think that that's part of the equation that's often left out when people are talking about fear. But I found personally that the Word of God actually, you know, it trumps the natural world. It's like anything that's happening in the natural world that can happen to us, the Word of God has authority over it. And so really, in a sense, I found that to be the thing that really works, where nothing else could possibly work. It doesn't, reason can't do it, you know. I guess wisdom, understanding can help in a particular situation. You know, so it's...
Thank you. And that's so great. What?
I didn't mean to go on and on, but
No, that's great. It's great that has helped you, because what you did was look at the fear, and you got out of your head, and you were able to work through it. You got into your heart to be able to move through that piece. And like you said, being on a plane is exactly something that you created in your head, right, to get your fear cold. Right. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. It's helped tremendously. Thank you. So that's what they talk about, getting out of your head, because 80 to 90% of our thoughts are what creates the fear. And so I'm sure everybody has experienced what John was talking about, a fear, whether that's in your business, getting on a plane. And so, again, really working through the concept of getting out of that so you can move forward. And a lot of times it's things that have happened in our past that we're bringing up into the future, and that really affects the way that we think about the event. So let me stop one second, and I'll have Denise share another tidbit from the event. So, Denise, did you have something else you would like? You know, we've got several notes that we were taking. So something else that you'd like to bring up that was related to fear that we discovered at that event?
You know, you definitely talked about finding something that helps you get through that. So whatever that is for you, because what happens is when we wallow in that fear, we don't have growth, right? And we all know that. I'm sure if you're on this call, you understand that completely. One of the things that he said that I thought was profound is that He said, think of a fruit tree, an apple tree as an example. It's always growing fruit, even if some are bad, even if some are going to be eaten by worms, even if, the fruit isn't going to sell a whole lot, or if another fruit is going to be more popular this year. You could go on and on thinking of how firm a fruit tree grows and continues to provide fruit. That's its job. That's what it does, and it does it well. And it doesn't matter of the circumstances, that are kind of going on around it or what might come or the house, right? It just does what it's supposed to. And I just thought I could really relate to that analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that made me, when you just said that, the concept of a negative thought, the more that you hold resistance to it, the longer it's going to stay there. And so sort of like the apple, the apple tree just grows the apples, and they don't think about that. And so a lot of times we get a negative thought, and like John, what you were talking about, you could have really held on to that negative thought, and the longer we hold on to that and we hold resistance to it, the longer and the bigger it's going to get. So one of the tips that they gave us was to think about, love the thought. It will leave you, and, or say, awesome, thanks for that thought. So you really want to acknowledge that negative thought, that fear that you have, because if you don't acknowledge it, it is going to keep coming back. And so acknowledge it, make fun of it, and move on, if you can. But that was the idea.
It's true. And I know, actually what happens is the mind actually measures our losses, and that's what helps to create doubt. So as an example, if you're worried about something or if you're concerned about something and you keep playing that over in your head, the doubt just keeps getting bigger, or the measurement of the doubt keeps getting bigger. Like, for instance, if you're going to be late to work, I'm going to be late to work. Oh, my gosh, I was late before. My boss is mad at me. My coworkers don't like me. I'm going to hit a bunch of traffic. I mean, you just create all these scenarios in your head and you keep dwelling in it, and that measurement keeps getting bigger. And then, the following week, you'll probably be late again, and you'll play that again. So he said, I like what you said, and he definitely said, to come from the heart and forgive yourself. But I really liked when he said that, if you keep ignoring it, it is going to keep showing up. So if the problem, if you're running late to work all the time, if you keep dwelling in that and role-playing those scenarios, it's probably still going to keep happening. But, own it and say, I've been late. This is something I don't want to do anymore. Own those feelings, own the responsibility, and work towards, changing what that picture might look like on getting there on time. Change those measurements.
Mm-hmm. Right, and change, and it's fear-based, right? So that's the part that we want to get rid of, some of those thoughts. And so I think that's really important. I'm going to stop here. Any questions or comments, Trista? Anything pop up for you, your head, or anybody else before we go forward?
I would just add that the way we're designed, our confession, what we're saying in the midst of being late all the time, we can turn it around. If you're a runner, say, I love running hills. I'm going to turn the situation around. I'm not going to be late anymore. You just begin to confess that. The way we're designed, the words coming out of our mouth so our ears can hear it, it changes the circumstances, it changes the atmosphere, and it changes everything, basically. But if we keep saying the problem, in a sense, we're just kind of linked into that problem indefinitely. But we break out of that scenario by really speaking the opposite, in a sense. And it is very profound. You're right.
It's true. It's true, because we are our thoughts, right? And so, absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, John. And so that's the part that, we really have to fall in love with this idea that we can make these changes, and that, we have the negative thoughts, and let's just deal with them and move on. And I know it's a lot easier said than done at times, but reasons to do it. Joanna, did you have something you wanted to add? I think you had had a great quote.
I was muted.
Go ahead.
I got that from Les Brown. He said the richest place on the planet is the graveyard. It's richer than the diamond mines, ruby mines, or any of those other places. because there you'll have inventions that weren't invented, books that weren't written, ideas that weren't shared, and all because of fear.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, it's true, because I think if people didn't have this concept that you are going to run out of time, you don't know how much time you have, you know, and that is a gift. So that forces us to move, right? We don't want to have when we're at that place, regrets, when it's our time is done here. And so I think that's the piece of how do you get yourself to move, and that's a great quote, Joanna, thank you, to really move through our fears. And that's the piece that stops us a lot of times. So, Denise, give us another tidbit that came. I think we were talking about, or they were talking about, the butterfly concept and the caterpillar.
Sure. So in a fear base, it's a lot of why me, right? So he did do the analogy of the caterpillar compared to the butterfly. So a caterpillar, if you could imagine, might be looking outside world and see a beautiful butterfly and think, why in the world am I stuck in this cocoon? You know, why do I have to sit here? Why don't I have wings? And then as a butterfly, the caterpillar transforming into that might be fearful when he's realizing, hey, that is me. I am going to be moving into, you know, getting wings. And what if I don't do that right? Or, you know, just all the analogies, I guess, that you could think of that would go with that. So it would be, you know, the whole why me. And in the end, you know, looking back on it, it's really what it was meant to be. And, of course, the butterfly knows exactly how to use its wings. And I think that's a great analogy for us as well. We know what to do. It's just that the fear is holding us back. And in that fear, we do a whole lot of why me. So he says, you know, connect to your heart, and you'll know exactly why you're doing what you're doing, instead of beating yourself up over the why me's.
And I want to then take, and then we'll open up for some more questions or comments. So then there was a concept that was talked about, which was just a different twist on how to create a vision. And so we know I use affirmation cards, I visualize, we have vision boards, right? And I'm always looking at and affirming where I want to go. And so this exercise that he had everybody do was just a little different twist, but it was amazing how effective it was. And so it was to talk about your vision from as it happened yesterday. And so the idea would be, and I'm going to let Denise go into some more details, but the idea would be, I'm going to describe yesterday to you, only like it was a few years from now or maybe a year from now. So I might say something like, oh, my gosh, you guys, yesterday I had this amazing day. I had 10,000 PV in sales. I sold 4 goals that happened. My volume was just amazing. My income was this. So you're going to talk about yesterday as it was what your future is going to be. And so that's sort of the concept. So Denise, add some pieces to that. I know you had taken some notes on that.
Sure. So he said to stop sacrificing your purpose. You know, tell your story as if it's already happened. And actually, we stood up in the room and found a partner, somebody that we did not arrive to the event with, and we each had a minute to describe the situation. So here's how it looked. He said, find a partner in the room that you don't know. You each get a minute. You know, start your story and say, you know, whatever brought you here today, whatever you're looking for to change, tell your story as if that happened. So a year ago today, I went to this event, and since then, I have, you know, XYZ. So it was really powerful. The girl that I partnered up with had really, you could see some concern behind starting her own business. She wanted to work in reflexology, and she was still in the process of learning it. So she had a lot of disbelief coming from her family and friends. And so she really needed to work through that. And in addition to that, she wanted to travel, and she knew that this new position that she could eventually get into could help her down that path. So she switched her story to, you know, and told it as if it already happened. So a year ago, she went to an event, and since then, she's been able to get her certificate to complete her Reiki learnings, and she's been able to heal and help a lot of people, and her family is on board, and she's been able to travel. So it was really powerful, and I know that a lot of people, when they tell their story as out loud and as if it's already happened, it was very emotional. The girl who was brought up on stage was actually crying, you know, and so it was a great tool. I think it's definitely something that I will use moving forward to replay that every day. And he says, you know, replay that every day. You know, life happens, obviously, but replay that story every single day as if it's already happened. And because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between an actual event or something that you've made up in your head, like monsters under your bed, then you can actually it gets easier to do, number one, but it also helps the brain think you've already done it. So it just not only feels more achievable, but looks more achievable to your brain as well.
And we have no problem, our brains, every day creating negative stories. And we know that, right? Every day, oh, my gosh, I don't know where I'm going to find anybody. And, oh, my gosh, I don't have my volume. And what if I can't leave my job, right? So we easily can create a negative story. So this is a great way, and I just found it really helpful at creating a positive story. And so, and again, as we know with affirmations and visualizing, we want to speak as if it has already happened. So if you're talking about like this happened yesterday, what would your story look like? It was really powerful. So any questions on that piece, on how to use that exercise to say a story like it already happened? Any questions or comments on that?
I just want to add that it's very, very powerful. You're right. It's saying the story as it's already happened, I think, is the key element that I really need to succeed, in a sense, because many of the symptoms that I felt in like my heart was beating and I thought I was going to have a heart attack and all these other things, it's just a normal part of anxiety through going through an uncertain thing, you know? And so, but as you see yourself, just like the Olympic athlete, wow, I saw that you see them like moving their butt ready to go down the hill and they're like bobbing up and down. They're seeing themselves go through all the turns. They're seeing themselves flip through the thing. It's that exercise over and over and over that gets us there. The woman who won Miss America, she put aside the 27 years she watched every single Miss America for 27 years, how she walked across the stage. She saw herself doing it. So it's incredibly powerful what you're saying. It's absolutely the key, I think.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. I'm glad you're using it because it is very powerful, and I think it's something that at times we forget to use that's here. So thank you for sharing that. Any other comments or thoughts? We have a couple minutes.
Hi, it's Trista.
Hi, Trista.
Hi. This is such a great topic. Yesterday, on Sundays, I've been trying to plan out my week, you know, sit down and do that, and I've been journaling and trying to work through some fears that have, you know, these monsters that have shown up in my life. And I sat down with my husband. It was beautiful and sunny outside, and we were talking about this. And I was talking through some of the fear and stuff. And then I said, you know, I learned this new way. It was through the Miracle Morning of just writing out an affirmation and, like, getting very specific about exactly what I'm going to do and exactly what hours and incorporating that. And I'm listening to you talk and thinking, what a great way to talk about that, like use that affirmation still, but talk about it, you know, as if it's already happened, like, you know, this happened because of this. And so I really, really like that. And as I was sitting here listening to the call, my husband texted me something I thought was really cool. I wanted to share it because he knows I'm having some challenges and fear right now. And he texted me, sometimes courage is simply moving forward. True courage is moving forward into the unknown. And to me, that just really spoke to me on what you guys are talking about facing that monster. And, you know, as you're talking about monsters, I'm thinking don't feed the monster with other negative thoughts or fears that support it. So thanks for this topic this morning. This is really, really helpful and kind of what I needed to hear right now.
Oh, you're welcome. I love that quote that you gave. Thank you. And, well, when you broke it down and just sort of said, imagine if you literally just threw a monster on a Post-it note and you put it in front of yourself and wore a card, and then you got afraid. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's literally what we do. You know, we'll take a concept, we'll draw it out in our head, and then we're afraid of it. So, you know, it can be that simple if you break it down, right? It just hit me, like, I was like, wow, and I make that into something pretty big. Any other thoughts when we have one more minute before we close?
Hey, Teresa, it's Sharon. I like Teresa saying, I so love it, and I resonate with John, too, that at the end of it all, really, like, healing is so much in the Word of God. And sometimes it's really important for me, you know, when you look at fear, I agree that that posting is ridiculous because we do that. And you also mentioned, you know, fears that come from our past, and a lot of times that happens. And so when you look at your fears, I think it's really been important for me anyway to identify what fear is, what it is. Is it something that I have conjured up, or is it something that it's there because of an experience or something in my life? And when I identify it, then I can truly tackle it. And we do have legitimate fears and illegitimate fears, you know, and so really powerful to identify those, to be able to walk through them. Because some you can laugh at. Some of that you got to go scream at the counselor for, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the piece we didn't go into, because he talked a little bit about the idea that, you know, these fears are from past experiences. And a lot of times, and this is not to knock our parents at all, but sometimes just the situation that we grew up in, we are carrying other people's fears, right? So maybe, you know, our grandparents maybe were raised in the Depression and they had a fear of losing their home, or and so that was passed on, right, subconsciously. And so those are, right, exactly. You may want to analyze that to see, do you need to talk to somebody? Is it something that you can laugh off? Right, exactly. But I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have something else to add, Sharon?
Nope. That was it. Really important for me, because I had to do both.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it was a great concept, and really just a different way to look at your fears. And so always, you know, dissect them and move through them as quickly as possible. Denise, I'm going to let you close out. When I know we're at 9:01. Any closing thoughts you wanted to add on this?
Two more statements that I wrote down that I think kind of wrap up what Sharon was saying and what John shared earlier. That the first one is, and not to speak light of it, but just as a reminder, and his quote was, if you still have a problem with your parents, they're still raising you, right? And that kind of hit home for me because, right, there's garbage in the past that, you know, you think that you've buried or you hope you've done away with or whatever, but it still keeps showing up in random places. But, and then I thought, you know, yeah, and I don't want them to raise me, so I need to let go of that even, you know, more than I thought I had already. So that was a piece that I thought was powerful. And then the other one, he said that you are what you love, not what loves you. And that may have related to the family situation again, too. If you're always seeking somebody's love or always seeking the love of something, you're not going to find it, right? Because that's, you know, in order to live in your heart. And the subtitle of his book is How Falling in Love with Your Fears Can Change the World. You know, if we're really looking to change ourselves and move forward and change the world, then we need to remember that we are what we love, not what loves us.
But I'm going to add one more piece that Joanna had just texted me. Fear, false evidence appearing real, right? Thanks for sharing that, Joanna. That's true. And so all of those concepts can really help you move as quickly as possible through the fear, because we want to help you reach your goals and reach where you want to be in this Shackley business and your life. And so the faster you can break through those fears, you know, the quicker you're going to get there. Whether that's calling someone on the phone or, you know, breaking out a team member, all of those things we want to move through quickly. So definitely feel free to check in with us if you have some questions more about the concepts that we were talking about today, or check in with your upline and, you know, help break down those fears. So thank you guys for all the participation this morning. I so appreciate it. Thanks for Denise for co-hosting, and I hope you guys have a great Shackley week. We'll talk to you soon now. Bye now.
Thank you.